Okay, let me put this scripture up. We're going through a series at the moment around Ephesians 1, just talking about the blessings we have in Christ. And who knows what Temi spoke on? What was the blessing last week that Temi spoke about? Adoption, the blessing of adoption. It was a powerful message. Check that out. So if you just put the first slide up on the screen, Elijah, just here, it says, this is from Ephesians 1 verse 7. It says, in him we have redemption. Is that word, redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things on heaven, things in heaven and things on earth. I suppose the question I want to start with this morning is, do you have a handle on how much you're worth? Do you have a handle on how much you're worth? If you were to put a price on yourself, would you see yourself as, would you put a high value or would you put a low value? And I think this could fluctuate based on the day, right? Some days we might feel full of value and other days we might not feel that value. But I would argue that we are redeemed because we have such high value. And that value is often determined, as we share, by the cost. You know, you are priceless in God's eyes. And just as an expert, you know, determines the value of an antique, they come in and they say that's what it's worth. You know, who determines your value is not you and not your friends. And not your family, not your workplace. Who determines your value? God. God determines your value. Isn't that great? Because it doesn't matter how much you get knocked around or beaten up or people actually put you down and put you in your place. It's like, you know what? You don't determine my value. God does. Because he paid the highest price for you and for me. And we know our value by what price was paid. Right? And so we look at Christ and we go, okay, look around the room and go, you know, for some, you know, naysayers who speak down and you go, well, what price have you paid to determine my value? And for many, none. But Jesus paid a high price. And God determines not based on our mistakes or our past or the world's opinion, as I said, but your value is shown by the price he paid, and as we read here, by the blood of Jesus, by his life. He gave his life for you. I want to look at this picture up here, and Temi highlighted this to me. Has anyone seen this before? Yeah. I mean, it's just a great thing to think about when it comes to redemption. A beautiful ancient bowl had been passed down through generations, and over time it begins to crack. First one line, then more, until it seems irreparable. Shattered beyond recognition, its beauty, once flawless, is now marred by deep fractures, leaving it seemingly worthless. And we've all had things in our life which have been broken and you're like, chuck it out. Just throw it out. It's worthless. It doesn't have any value in it. But there's a tradition in Japan called Kintsugi. How do you say that? Kintsugi? You know, you say whatever you want to say. The art of repairing broken pottery with gold or silver. And it means golden joinery in Japanese. And it dates back to the 15th century. And the story goes that a Japanese man sent a cracked tea bowl to China to repair. And when he returned, he was disappointed by the crude metal staples used to mend it. So a Japanese craftsman created a new method of repairing broken pottery using lacquer mixed with powdered gold, silver or platinum. And the result not only restored the piece, but one that became even more precious. As the cracks now highlighted with gleaming metal. The idea behind this practice is that the cracks do not diminish the value of the pottery, but rather add to its story and its beauty. And the cracks, instead of being hidden, are celebrated as part of the object's unique history. And in many ways, this is what Christ has done for us. We are all broken pottery. Our sins and our fails leave us fractured. and we might feel beyond repair. But through his redemptive love, Christ does this. He doesn't just fix us, he makes us even more beautiful in our brokenness. His grace is the gold that fills the cracks in our hearts. Through his sacrifice, we are restored not to our original state, but to something even more valuable, a life transformed by his grace. And just as the artist sees the beauty in the broken bowl, Christ sees potential for healing in each one of us. He does not discard us because of our flaws. He redeems us through his love, making us vessels of his glory, even through our imperfections. Christ's redemption isn't about erasing our brokenness, but about filling it with something far greater. His love, his mercy, and his grace. And in this way, we've been restored. We've been made new, even though flawed, yes, but beautifully redeemed at the hands of the Master. And this is what Shaz talked about. You know, we talk about redemption. I was thinking about a judge who pays a fine. Imagine you're in court guilty of breaking multiple laws, and the judge declares that you owe an enormous fine, one that you could never afford. And just as he hands down the gavel, the judge stands up, removes his robe, walks to the front, and pays the fine himself. That's what Jesus did on the cross. We were guilty, but he took the penalty for our sins to redeem us. The debt had been cleared. And it's just a beautiful picture of that. So I just want to talk about what this redemption really looks like. You can put the next slide up on the screen. The word redeemed here comes from a Greek word which means a ransom paid for release or liberation. Isn't this such a gift? We're talking about blessings. You think about this. You think about a ransom paid for your release. God, Jesus paid the ultimate price so that you could live in freedom. Some of you don't feel that excited about that. I want you to kind of just, you know, it's a slow cooker this morning, I get that. But you can live a free life in Christ because of what he has done, the sacrifice that he made. No sacrifice, no freedom. It's simple as that. You don't have the opportunity, the inheritance, you don't have anything without his death and his resurrection. He paid the price. Free from bondage, free from all these things. And his death, freeing us from guilt and the penalty of sin. Sin has a price. I want to read this from John Stott. You read this. It talks about the concepts of substitution may be said to lie in the heart of both sin and salvation. The essence of sin is man substituted himself for God. Get that? The essence of sin is man substituting himself for God, seeing himself as God. And the essence of salvation is God substituting himself for man. It's a beautiful picture. And it signifies our freedom from sin's power. Humanity were enslaved by sin, but God's sacrifice secured our release. And he paid a high price through his blood. I want to put the next slide up, and this is from 1 Peter, and it's from The Message, and it just says it beautifully. Your life is a journey you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It costs God plenty. I want you to hear that. It was no small thing for him to die for you and me. It cost God plenty to get you out of that dead-end, empty-headed life you grew in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb, and this was no afterthought, at the end of the ages become public knowledge. God always knew he was going to do this for you. It's because of this sacrifice, Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God and that you now have a future in God. There's forgiveness and restoration. We were at a dead end without him. We were stuffed. Up the creek without a paddle. However we want to say it. Gornsky. Struggling. No hope. And Jesus stepped in and said, I'm going to give you a road out. And he gives us that through redemptions, and we receive forgiveness. I don't want to underestimate the impact that sin has on our life. Because if we don't understand, and I don't want to be like fully pushing into this a point where, you know, but I want to focus on this a little bit, just to kind of, if you understand the price that had to be paid in order to deal with this issue of sin. Once again, it's no small thing. We know sin actually brings death. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So sin actually does bring it. It will kill you. Sin will kill you. And sin is simply for us to miss the mark, disobedience, if you like. When we step out aside God's plan, it will kill us to step outside of God's plan and miss the mark and constantly do the wrong thing. It will kill us without Christ. If he didn't pay for sin, dead end. He pays the price, freedom, and redeems us. We get separated from God. Isaiah 59 says, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that, I love this, and you read this again when you go home, Isaiah 59, so that he will not hear. It blocks. Sin has a way of separating us and hiding our face and blocking our ears from the truth. It has a spiritual death. It has this idea of separating from God, it brings death, but also spiritual death. You know, we go back to Adam and Eve in the garden. What happened? Simply not physical death, but spiritual death, separation from God. We know that sin has a physical death. Sin has brought physical death into the world. Before sin, humans were meant to live forever. That was our purpose. But sin came in and we experienced death. Therefore, just as sin entered the world, this is from Romans 5, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all people because all sinned. Our bodies, I don't know about you, but they grow old and suffer illness. Who's been sick this week? A few of us. Things and they die because of sin's effect. That's, you know, the toxic nature of sin in the world is the thing that brings sickness and pain and suffering. It brings down our bodies physically. The good news is Jesus defeated death and he defeated sin. That is, I wanted to weigh in on that because I want you to know the impact is that you have been set free from, you know, he has brought you close, intimacy. He has brought you close to him so you can be spiritually in relationship with him. He has dealt with your physical death so that you can live forever. Eternal. Not with this body, but with a new one. Who's looking forward to a new? A couple of you. You reckon I'm good looking in this life. You wait till the next one. Seriously. And I'll say the same for you. We're all getting an upgrade. And so, you know, John 11 says, Jesus said to her, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in him, in me, will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Will never die. So we have this eternal gift of redemption. Not just a here and now, but an eternal one. So through our faith in Christ and through us believing in what he'd done on the cross, the spiritual death has been reversed. We are made alive in Christ. We're not dead to Christ. Our physical death is temporary because we are resurrected. And eternal death is avoided. We live forever with God. So we read this passage and he talks about this. He says, in him we have redemption through his blood because of sin, and then we have forgiveness of sins, which I've just talked about. And I want to talk about forgiveness for a moment. You put up the next slide. We understand the word forgiveness is simply reinforcing this idea of redemption. So it's kind of just, Paul's just simply going, you know what? You are redeemed and you're forgiven. He's just reinforcing the same thing. Because he's saying this word here actually means to send away or to release or to let go. It's the picture of freedom. It conveys the idea of pardoning once again and cancelling the debt and setting someone free from bondage. And why is this so important? Because it restores our relationship with God. As I said, sin creates a barrier, and then we're forgiven, and then we're back in relationship with him, right? Forgiveness is great because it gives us peace. We read in Romans 5, therefore, since you've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus. So it gives us peace and joy. Go to the next slide, sorry. So forgiveness is important in this because it's the pathway or the, if you like, that restores us to God, it restores our relationship. It gives us peace and joy. It helps us forgive others. If you've been forgiven much and you realize how much God, the high price he paid for you, it's much easier if we have a revelation of that to forgive others. And not only forgiveness, it empowers us to overcome sin. So it says in this passage, and it talks about this, forgiveness is part of it. Redemption is part of it. And then it talks about grace. It talks about this idea of grace, and it's according to God's grace that all these things happen. I want to just go to the next slide, and we'll talk about what grace is in this passage. Grace is this. There's the Greek word for it. And it's unmerited favor, and it simply means that God refers to God's kindness and goodwill and undeserved favor toward you. This means salvation and forgiveness are given not because you deserve it, but because of God's love. It's hard for us to receive favor, isn't it? Who likes to be given a favor? Most of us go, oh, no, it's all good. I've got this covered. I'm sweet. You know, we're like, can I do you a favor? Will you let Jesus do you a favor this morning? You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. But he's saying, let my grace just fall on you this morning and let you know I've redeemed you and I've forgiven you. Will you receive the freedom and the liberty in life that I want you to have? And I know you don't like receiving favors, but will you receive the favor, the grace that's around this? It's beautiful. It's divine influence. It also conveys the idea that God's actively at work within us, transforming us to live. So not only grace, but in order for us to understand and to have revelation of what redemption is, what forgiveness is, what our sin is, he gives us the power through his Spirit to actively understand what that looks like. And it's generosity in abundance. In this phrase, the riches, we hear the riches of his grace. Emphasizes the overflowing nature of God's grace. Oh, we don't like one favor, but what if God keeps giving you favors? Over and over again, he keeps coming to us and saying, you know what? You don't deserve it. You haven't earned it, but I'm going to give you my love. I'm going to give you my power. I'm going to give you my strength. I'm going to give you my peace. I'm going to give you my wisdom. I'm going to give it all. It's like, Lord, no, stop. Please stop. And he's like, no, I want you to have more. I want you to have more because you are struggling. You are struggling. You're at a dead end. And that's the importance of understanding sin kills us. And unless you recognize that it kills us, you won't receive salvation. You won't allow Jesus to come in and be Lord and King and actually take you away from that dead end road and actually bring you to a place of peace and resurrection. Admitting, hey, I'm struggling here. I can't do this life without you, God. I don't have a little box over here I can just go pick up a little piece and a bit of, you know, wisdom and a bit of this. It's like, no, I don't have that under my bed. I don't like get up every morning and go, oh, here's my peace and here's my joy. It doesn't exist outside of Jesus. And it's not a vending machine. Don't go in and go, Lord, if I do this, then you'll give me something back. It's not transactional, it's transformational. He gives it to you because you don't deserve it, because it's his grace. I don't know, I'm a little bit excited about this. We have redemption because of his life that he gave for us, the forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness for our, according to his riches, according to his riches. I am poor, but he is rich. Praise God. Such a beautiful thing. So let's wrap this up, put it in a bow and go home. Last slide. This is everything I've been trying to say. First thing is this: you are priceless in God's eyes. Absolutely priceless. God determines your worth, not your mistakes, not your past, not the world's opinion, not your friend's opinion, your family. The value of you is shown by his death on the cross. He gave his life for your life. A life for a life. Why? Because you are absolutely invaluable. Redemption is freedom. Jesus has paid the debt in full. You don't owe anything. You're no longer a slave to your guilt. You're no longer a slave to your shame. You're no longer a slave to your condemnation. But you can walk in the freedom that he purchased for you. It's freedom. Redemption is freedom. Redemption is transformation. You're not just forgiven. You're made new. You're like a prisoner given a new identity. You have a new name and a new purpose and a new future in Christ because you've been redeemed. And your past no longer defines you. Jesus does. Redemption is the call to live differently. You are saved for a purpose. You were redeemed for a purpose. To live in holiness and in gratitude, in worship and in love. Because forgiven people forgive. Spirit-filled people walk in the Spirit. They have a different spirit. It's called the Holy Spirit. We don't carry a human spirit. We have a Holy Spirit who's set apart and functions a little bit different to our flesh. So you are priceless. Redemption is about freedom. It's about transformation. It's about living differently. And God's grace is abundant and sufficient. Redemption is not based on what we can do, but God's grace. His grace is rich, as I've talked about. It's unmerited. It never runs out. And no sin is too great for his forgiveness. You know, Jesus is not bothered by our sin because he's paid the price. He's paid in full. You know what that means? Past, present and future. So like he's paid up to that point of you become, goes, you come to Christ and he goes, you know what? I'm going to pay the price you receive. And you know what? And every dumb thing you do after this day, I'm going to pay up front for it. Because I know you don't have the capacity to get it right without the Spirit of God working in you. There's no chance of you going bankrupt in Christ because he's just paying it up. And the Bible says it doesn't give us permission to sin. It doesn't give us permission to sin. It gives us power to not sin. Right? So just because you're paid up in full doesn't mean I'm going to sin like a champion. It goes, you know what? I've got the power of God to overcome this in the future. I'm not like dead. It's not going to kill me like it's meant to. I can live in the freedom that God has given me for the rest of my days. You can live with the confidence and the gratitude, knowing that you are deeply loved and eternally secure in the fact that how he feels about you. You know what? You are redeemed. You know, I declare this over you this morning. You are forgiven. You are set free in Jesus' name. Now let's go and just live it out. Amen. Awesome. Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you that you have redeemed us. Wow. Thank you. You have forgiven us. Wow. Thank you. And you've given us grace. Wow. Thank you. So good to live in your presence. It's so good to walk with you, Jesus. So good to walk with you, Holy Spirit. You're so grateful for everything you've done for us. And Lord, if we've rejected your favor, if we've rejected your promise, if we've rejected this gift in any way, Lord, we just put that aside now and we just allow you to bless us. We allow you to do us a favor today. And we experience, and I pray that everyone here, from the top of their head to their toes, you'd baptize them in your grace and your mercy and your kindness. We'd realize that you paid a high price for our sin and our lives because we are so worth it. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.